His name is Yao Graham, and he's one of the co-founders of the Third World Network. He, of course, spoke about a lot of issues relating to the mining industry, and he gave a pretty broad spectrum analysis and criticism about what mining does in Africa. Of course, Canadian foreign direct investment is the biggest investment in the mining sector in Africa right now. And so I wanted to talk to him about specifically Canadian issues relating to mining in Africa and in Ghana, where he is from and where the Third World Network is based in. The first question that I asked him is about corporate social responsibility and how Canadian NGOs and mining companies are acting on the ground. And I just want to have listeners remember that CSR does mean corporate social responsibility. He'll mention that a few times in the interview. Yao Graham, about NGOs, Canadian mining companies, development in Africa on the ground.
The thing about corporate social responsibility is that for me there are two main issues. One, the development issues facing people in mining areas and the adequacy of state provisioning of those needs. I mean, in many African countries, there are great needs which are not being adequately met, and therefore companies step in and offer some things. But in general, companies provide CSR as part of their getting a social license to operate. It's not a charitable activity. And in almost all cases, they are not paying enough revenue to the state. So you have a situation where even if governments were interested in a more democratic allocation of resources, they are not getting enough revenue from these non-renewable resources to be able to do more. So for a start, companies ought to be paying more revenue to increase the fiscal capacity of the state to lead development, first and foremost. Secondly, I think that CSR generally has to be seen as a palliative, because the experience so far has shown that really it cannot replace a more broad-based development framework in rural areas. It can make a contribution, but it should not be pumped up the way it is being pumped up as a solution. It's important because this emphasis on voluntary mechanisms is a way of sidestepping the need for companies to be held up to more rigorous accountability frameworks. It's a way of sidestepping the need for companies to pay more revenue, because then they can say, oh, we are doing so much for the community, why do we have to put more into the central treasury? And it's also a way of privatizing development. Okay, state retreat, companies step in. So that's one perspective on it. Having said that, though, it is true that when companies build schools, they are useful. If they build hospitals, they are useful. But there are a number of experiences which are worth paying attention to. In many cases, there's very little coordination. So in many cases, also, sustainability issues arise. A school needs teachers to survive. And many companies very quickly are not able to stay for the long haul. So the promise of company-created infrastructure at times can turn out to be counterproductive, because they generate expectations which are not sustained, you know, in the long term. If they are done with the expectation that the state will take it over, if it's not coordinated with the state, at times the company pulls out and the thing collapses, and then the claim is made that the company took an initiative and the state is unable to sustain it, which goes back to state fiscal capacity. Now, on the question of NGOs and their involvement with companies, I think one has to accept that in terms of outlook, there are as many NGOs as there are human beings. There's a diversity in how NGOs see the world. And it's on the basis of that diversity that some will choose to work with companies on CSR issues, and others will not.
It used to be that the companies had the responsibility for CSR. Now the Canadian government, at least in the past year or so, has said Canadian International Development Agency will support the CSR initiative. And so it has fallen now on the weight of the Canadian taxpayers and the Canadian agencies to organize this CSR.
So yeah, I think this type of corporate welfare, really, it's it's regressive. Mm-hmm. Because we have a situation today where, you know, the high-level forum on aid in Korea will be discussing more and more on tying of aid, discussing, you know, national ownership, discussing, you know, democratic accountability and so on. So in this day and age, for the Canadian government, which used to be one of the more progressive, you know, countries when it came to the aid regime, to be regressing and deciding to use aid to support the expansion of Canadian mining in a situation which would have a consequence of, as it were, determining development paths inside countries according to the logic of mining companies, I think it's unfortunate. Mm.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a very broad question. Ghana, mining in Ghana, how would you... and also, like, there was a Rio Tinto mine, and I
think... It's a bauxite mine.
Bauxite mine, yeah. So they sold it to the Chinese, you know, and... So, but can you talk to me about, you know, Canadian interests in Ghana, how there are issues related to that?
Currently, there are about 14 Canadian gold mining projects, either operating or in the process of being created. But Canadian firms certainly are very active in the Ghanaian case. And one can say that all the problems that characterize the relations between companies and mining firms in Ghana could be, you know, ascribed also as part of the problems that we have. The worst example actually we've had in terms of mining companies was Bonte Mines, Bonte Gold Mines, which I think in 2005 or 2006, it's a Canadian firm, liquidated, upped, and left long stretches of land, you know, unreclaimed, workers unpaid. And I think that incident was very important in shifting public consciousness about the negative impacts of mining. Okay. What we did, we sent a camera crew there, did a video of the devastation left behind, and were the first to provide the information about Bonte's disappearance to the world. And at the press conference that we held, we played the video, gave copies to all the TV stations, so that when they reported the news, they actually had the visuals. Because in the past, you know, you are describing to people what the mining issue is about. Now there was visual of what one company had done. So when the chief executive of the Chamber of Mines was being interviewed, she had to speak to those images. When the chief executive of the Minerals Commission was being interviewed, he had to speak to those images. Mm-hmm. When the chief executive of the Environmental Protection Agency was being interviewed, he had to speak to those images. So actually, in a backhanded way, you know, the scandal involving a Canadian mining company gave a good shift, you know, to public opinion. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could say that there was something, and it gave a fillip definitely to the way the debate, you know, took place about what, you know, mining companies were capable of.
Okay. I would like to know what would you tell you know, Canadians that they should focus on? Now, I know that you've said to do, you know, there's all these, you know, it's not one issue, it's not the royalties, it's not the transparency, there's a complexity of issues. How would you want to, like, orient Canadians that want to work on the issue of Canadian mining industries abroad or in Africa?
I think one issue which is very important is the sensitivity to the communities in the areas where they work. I mean, the due process for protecting communities is very weak in many African countries. So many firms that will come in could find themselves, you know, being very much the object of hostility. So there's a challenge of how Canadian solidarity can be on the side of communities in mining areas to put pressure on both the host government and the companies to behave properly. Two, all the mining companies operating in Africa are not paying enough. The terms under which they operate are heavily weighed in favor of the companies. Canadian solidarity, Canadian activism can support the demand of African countries and African citizens for a more equitable share of mining income to go to host countries and mining affected communities. Because if that is done, the ability of countries to have resources for development would be increased. Mm-hmm. Three, there are instances where mining should not take place in certain, you know, ecologically fragile or important areas, where there are campaigns against the expansion of mining to those areas. I think it would be important for solidarity to pick these things up. So community level issues of livelihoods and rights, environmental issues, and the economic benefits of mining. These are issues that I think it will be important to get Canadian solidarity and support.
Okay. The first two points bring up the question of monitoring. So how do you think there should be things that should be built up?
If you have relationships posing to each other what is needed on both sides, it's important, because I may be able to transmit to you what is happening in Ghana or some person from some other African country, and therefore what should be the focus of activism, what should be the focus of solidarity. You can also transmit the issues which are being raised, mm-hmm. which need, you know, information to be advanced. But more generally, a culture of sharing on an ongoing basis keeps all of us ahead of the loop so that we can anticipate developments and prepare for the moments when they arise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yao Graham, thank you very much. So that was an interview, as you heard it, with Yao Graham, who is one of the co-founders of the Third World Network that is based in Ghana. And Yao Graham was in Canada touring to raise awareness about Canadian mining in Africa. And I just want to point out that there is this issue of the links with Canadian NGOs and mining corporations that has been, it's somewhat a new issue that has not been covered very much in the news, but there has been an official announcement in the last days of September where some Canadian NGOs, among them WUSC, World United Students of Canada.
World University Service of Canada.
World University Services of Canada. Thank you, Doug. And Plan Canada and World Vision Canada and some more are part of these new partnerships that CEDA, the Canadian International Development Agency, has been pushing for, and the Canadian government, the Conservatives, have been pushing to encourage links with these mining companies like Rio Tinto and IAMGOLD and others.